Oh, I'm sure glad Dad doesn't know what time I'm getting into this place at 3 in the morning. Oh, he'll kill me if he knows what time I get home tonight. I walked in on the tent, and there she was, on his feet. I quietly undressed and didn't want to wake them for fear they might squall on me. I crawled in the bed and fell somebody, and it was Dad. Normally, it's just about time you came home. You know it's only 3 o'clock in the morning. I just about that, but he said, all he said to me, but he slept that night and just waiting to see what time they got in. And about Dad not swearing, Barney and I were just little kids and we were playing in the basement.
At 904, that was a new home then. Mm-hmm.
But we just had a half a basement in that house. But anyway, I don't remember, riding tricycle, something anyway, we were playing.
Had roller skates down there.
And Dad was making something, hammering real hard, and he hit his thumb. And we watched and waited for Dad to swear. He held the swear. Dad and I knew he was in such pain. He went deaf and quiet, and he just was for the longest time. Let go, and he lost that nail. It went black, and he lost the nail. He didn't swear a thing. I knew he knew Brian and I was waiting for him to do it.
He had great control.
That's amazing that he had such self-control.
But he did training it himself. Mm-hmm.
You know, but one time we were at the supper table, any time I ever saw Dad do anything, Barney said something, and Dad had a spoon in his hand, and he hit Barney in the mouth with the spoon while I'm eating. I know, that's
now.
Any time I ever saw him.
It's amazing control. That's really...
He really did, but Mother was the hub of the home. That she was a person we could go and talk to. Mm-hmm. If we had good news, okay, or if we were upset and crying, she was there.
For all the kids, she was that way.
For all of them. Your dad was never home for much of that. Then when he was, we scared to death of him. And now I wished, I thought, well, I don't know anything about politics. I don't know anything about the lumber business. I don't know that much about religion, so what can I talk to my dad about? But now I wondered why in the world I could have asked him more about his childhood. I could ask him more what it was like to be on the farm and not have no shoes and stuff like that and what they went through. There's a lot more stuff because he was really was in pioneer grades and pioneer days.
Now
it makes you wonder why you don't remember to ask him.
You know, Dad used to take Byron out a lot with him. Talked all over. He took us to the death school one night. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Frank Griggs then that interpreted what Dad was saying.
Woodbury.
No, I didn't.
Griggs was superintendent Woodbury. I know. In charge of the church.
I know, but he interpreted everything. Dad talked slow so he could have time to get the sign language. And of course, they could sing. And if you could hear those deaf people sing, it was just completely horrible. They make the darndest noises and some would sing with the fingers and Barnard just all listening to what they were doing. But I remember we went up to Middleton.
Now you better tell him where it is. I don't think you heard.
Oh, I am. But I said it isn't anymore between Huntsville and Southport, so all I can tell you.
Oh.
And it had just straight aisle in the church and the pulpit was right even with the aisle. Mm-hmm. And we had to cross a little bridge on a ditch. The ditch seemed big to me, but she said it wasn't. But anyway, I had on the brand new dress that Mother had made for me. I have to go to the bathroom. Can't you wait till church is over? No. We have to go outside and around the back of the church to find it. Okay, I will. I went out and found the church and found it. I came back and I walked through the ditch and watched it. Oh, that was fun. And I thought, I bet I can jump over that. So I walked back a little ways and I ran as hard as I could and I landed right in the middle of that ditch.
Oh, no.
And Dad was talking to Pop and he could see every damn thing I was doing. But
what was his reaction? What did he do?
He never did say anything to me. But I was scared to death to go back into the church. And I walked down soaking wet all the way above my knees. Oh, she sat down beside mother, and mother said, "Oh, that's a button. I knew that." But I don't recall my dad ever getting after me or anything, but my mother sure did, and I got home.
Well, she had to do the work, clean up and wash it, and think the materials were hard to iron then.
I know, but dad just saw me run for that ditch and jump in the middle of it. But he just wasn't talking
when we were younger. Dad visited many wards, and see, Ogden State took in North Ogden, Pleasant View, Far West, and all
Liberty
around.
And Eden.
And yes, Liberty and Eden and Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
And then being in the lumber business too, he learned a lot of people around. Well, we went with him several times, and one time it was just Dell and I, we went up, supposed to be to Liberty. They have their church in Eden together now, but at that time, we stayed over, and they took us across the street to a family by the name of Chard, and we were going to have dinner, but they have to fix it. So Dad went out with the men to feed the cattle or whatever they did, and the women were getting dinner ready, and then they turned to Del and I and said, "You're Hiram Delnett's grandchildren, aren't you?" We said, "No." "Oh, yes, you must be Hiram Delnett's grandchildren." And we still said, "No, he's our father." Anyway, those ladies died of curiosity, and so when Dad and the men came in for dinner, that's the first thing they said to Dad, "These are your grandchildren, aren't they?" He said, "No, they're mine." But he didn't explain, and you could see the expression on their face, like they'd give anything to ask him how come. Because, you see, they knew some of the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all my cousins were the age of Von Lee and Harrison Earl, and we came a long way afterwards, and so they didn't know much of this young. I went to Marion Belmont Kerr's 25th wedding anniversary, and Dad introduced me to Roger Belknap. Uncle Harm, I didn't know you had a daughter this young. Yes, she's my daughter. I came almost saying I have a brother younger than me too, but I didn't.
Now, did you call your half-brothers and sisters brothers and sisters, or did you call them?
We don't call them nothing.
Nothing. Really?
Sorry, but none of us were very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were all so much older than me anyway. Yeah. Had nothing in common.
Earl was 15 years older than I was when I was born, and he thought that was awful for the folks to have some more children.
Earl was on his mission in Germany, and I was born, and he was 22 years older than me and 24 years older than Byron.
Hmm.
And I knew your dad and Earl the first at the same time. We lived at 918 then, and I was looking out the dining room window, and of course here came a tall man, a black long coat, and had a derby hat on, carrying a black suitcase. And of course 918's quite a ways in from the sidewalk. And you know that man turned on our sidewalk, walked up the sidewalk. He even walked right into our house and kissed my mother. And mother says, "Gladys, this is your brother. He's been on a mission to Chattanooga, Tennessee." I said, "You just go back to Uga to your own mama." And I kept telling that a long time afterwards. But Earl came down that night from Preston to see Harris. And I didn't know what to think. I had two brothers all in one day. that confusing to me, but...
Well, see, for Dad, it was like three families, and for Mother, it was two.
Yeah.
But Dad held the purse strings. Mm-hmm. And I know Gladys did, we all did, when we wanted something. We laid in wait many a night